TMZ TV.
Our brother Clyde Pilkington has a nice piece here on his daily email goodies from January 29th. It's called Morality Police, and we all run into the Morality Police. The self-appointed goody two-shoe cops. They pull up if they see you doing anything bad, and they want you to clean up their act because they have cleaned up their acts, even though last week they were doing the same thing you're doing. But since last week, they're on a morality crusade, and now they want everybody to be like they are now. And this is extremely important to them because, according to many of them, God is, of course, upset, disappointed, wringing his hands over your bad behavior. Will you just quit being such a bad person? That's all you have to do. And the morality police are there to make up for the absence of God. God isn't around, but the morality police will pull you over and give you a talking to. Maybe put you over their knee, spank you with a hairbrush. I don't know. Could happen. You never know. So this is Clyde, and January 29th, email goodies, he titles it Morality Police, so I've called my video Morality Police, but of course, I will always give credit where credit is due. Paul warns us of those who, under the guise of ministers of righteousness, 2 Corinthians 11:15, propagate their shameful shams. I wish I had thought of that phrase, shameful shams. Clyde, I would like you to congratulate you now for writing that. Those who propagate their shameful shams. It's bad enough to be propagating shams. Sham, of course, being a fake, a gimmick, a trick, but a shameful one. Yeah, I never want to be caught doing that. Their purpose in the shameful shams, why do they propagate them? To enslave their followers. That's right, enslave. And I've said this for a while, that the clergy need you. They actually fight your sin. They fight your sin, but they actually need you to continue to fail so that you need them. See, they need you to need them. And if you're all calm and peaceful and holy-like, and you're getting along pretty well, behaving yourself, they got nothing to do. How many times have you been told that you need a head, you need a monitor? They don't call it a monitor. What do they call it? They don't call it a monitor. They call it an accountability partner. Yeah, you need accountability. As if God and Christ are not our accountability. They are. We're accountable to Christ. He's the head of the body, not a pastor at a church. He's the head of the body. Yes, I'm an evangelist. I bring you the evangel. But I'm not the moral police in your life. I'm not a cop that comes around your house telling you what you should be doing and should not be doing. I set forth the truth. I'm a teacher also, and I bring a teaching to you. But I can't run your life. I don't have the energy or the time or the desire, especially the energy. Let's just stop there. I don't have the energy to run your life. And I can't worry about your life either. I can be concerned about it, and I am. I'm concerned, but I'm not worried about it. These people are worried about us, the moral police. They are worried that we are going to fall out of God's disfavor. But the reason they like to think this is because they believe that God has appointed them to be the ones who fix it up. Now, it's true that there are those appointed to fix up lies about God, but that's a whole different category. Lies about God, that's legit. We all want to destroy those, right? But as far as the growth, the speed of your growth in God, that is how well you're behaving yourself, that's up to God. Nobody can force you to be a better person, but somebody can introduce you to a truth that you didn't know before that can make you change your mind and go, oh, yeah, I guess that's true. That is legit, and that's the job of an evangelist and a teacher. But there is no office in the scriptures called morality police. Okay? Now, when someone does something wrong, I'm not afraid of scriptural facts. Of course not. We know that Paul was upset about somebody in Corinth who was having sex with his stepmother. And yeah, I gotta say, here is a case where somebody was involved in a bad sin, okay? But the morality police are far more intrusive in your life than bad sins. For instance, if someone was considering murder, or if someone was committing adultery or screwing their stepmother, yes, if we know this person, we would step in, and we wouldn't want to be judgmental, but we would want to say, this is not becoming of a member of the body of Christ, and you ought to stop now. Stop it. Paul did this. He said, don't even eat with such a one. So Paul's solution for the guy who was having sex with his stepmother, his solution was to temporarily disfellowship that person so that they would feel ashamed. And anybody who's doing something that bad, if you put your finger there and say you really shouldn't do that, then they will compose themselves and do better. But this is different. Clyde goes on. I get Clyde and Paul confused here. Okay, Clyde goes on. They preach and crusade for their legalistic bondage. Yes, legalistic bondage is a far different thing than somebody engrossed in a grievous sin. Like, say, they're robbing banks or raping people. Okay, that's grievous sin. This is not that. These are self-appointed morality police who want to bring other people into legalistic bondage, and they want to impose the bondage they're under on other people, because they are under bondages of the flesh. And the Baptist is the perfect example of a religion that condemns you for, depending on the sect, they will condemn you for dancing, they will condemn you. Clyde used to tell me stuff that he was in a big time Southern Baptist cult, man, and I mean the stuff they didn't want you to do. He said they would be upset if you wore eyeglasses. Yes, and you had to part your hair on a certain side. I am not kidding. If you parted your hair on the right side, you were of the devil. If you parted the hair on the left side, you were going to heaven. Hell, heaven, hell, heaven, depending on where you parted your hair. You could not go into a pool room to shoot pool. Shooting pool was wrong. Going to the movies was wrong. Dancing was wrong. Okay. These are the kinds of people that make up sins that aren't in the Bible. That's what the morality police specialize in. Now, they are self-appointed, according to Clyde here, morality police who judge another's servant. Paul references this in Romans 14:4. Paul says, now who are you to be judging another's domestic? That's the term the Concordant Version uses. Who are you to be judging another's domestic? To his own master, he is standing or falling. Again, Paul would not say this if the person was having sex with his stepmother or raping people. Paul wouldn't say, oh, who are you to judge that person? No, you should stop it. Stop it. Stop raping, pillaging, and stealing. Okay? This is not that. Now, this is great what Clyde brings up here. Listen to this. The scripture speaks of seven sins that are an abomination to God. This is from Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Listen to this list. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Seven sins that are an abomination to God. One, a proud look. Two, a lying tongue. Three, hands that shed innocent blood. Four, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Five, feet that are swift in running to mischief. Mischief sounds kind of corny here. I wonder if this can't be from the Concordant Version. Six, a false witness who speaks lies. Seven, he who sows discord among brothers. Now, Clyde says, while the many moral sins which religionists are obsessed with, and here they are, here's some of the sins I'm talking about and what Clyde is talking about that the moral police are upset about. Sexuality. I mean, the briefest hint of sexuality. For instance, flirting or looking at a beautiful woman. And there are so, as I've spoken with you many times, there are so many sexual sins that have been invented that are not in the scriptures. I've talked about that enough. Crude language. Yes, the morality police hate crude language. You can't say things like goddamn, or you can't say, you know, the S word, the F word. You can't, what they call, take Lord's name in vain, which is like Jesus Christ. Or you can say Jesus Christ, but you just can't say Jesus Christ, it's windy. You can't say that. Even though there's nothing in the Bible against that. That's not what it means to take the Lord's name in vain. I've explained that to you as well. To take the Lord's name in vain means that you take it on yourself, but it's useless to you because you're taking on the fake Jesus and the fake God, and you're just being a God person and a Jesus person because it provides you with some earthly advantage. Either you belong to the club or you're trying to get yourself into heaven and avoid hell. You've taken his name upon yourself, but it's in vain because you're just in it for yourself. You don't really love the true God or the true Christ. That's taking his name in vain. God damn it, I'll stick with that, okay? Yes, that has nothing to do, what I just said, with taking his name in vain. In fact, Moses damned the world. I mean, not Moses, but Noah damned the ancient world. Yes, he damned them all. He said, God damn you people, before he got on the ark. Don't have a verse for you there for sure. But yeah, Moses, no, I keep saying Moses. Noah condemned those. That's what it says, condemned. It just means to down judge. It means to damn. Noah damned that ancient world. God damn you people, getting on the ark. You do what you want. Yeah, so God damns things all the time. It's just a negative judgment. God is going to damn some people at the great white throne. They're going to go into the lake of fire. They're going to get out later and be reconciled to God. Duh. I mean, Colossians 1:20. 1 Corinthians 15:22. As an Adam, all are dying. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Yeah, God's eventually going to do that. But in the meantime, he's got to damn a few people. Got to give them a negative judgment to make him learn. That's what they did to that guy in Corinth who was screwing his stepmother. It was a negative judgment. They had to damn that guy for a little bit, just for a little bit, so until he repented. Then it was all honky-dory after that. Now, different little picayune sexual sins that they make up, like looking at porn. Oh, that's terrible. You can't look at a naked woman. Ooh, that's terrible. Find me that one in scripture. Of course you can look at a naked woman. I don't even understand why that would be wrong. See, yeah, language, use of alcohol. Oh my God. Yes, drinking is a sin to many people, and smoking. Yes, you've seen me smoke and drink on this show at separate times. I wish I was doing both now. I think that would be that could be construed as Martin's being testy. Martin's being crude. Martin is shoving it in the face. But I don't know that any of these moral police are watching now. If they are, I hope this helps them. But look at it. It's interesting. Clyde points this out, and this is the overreaching point. This is a great point of this article. While these many moral sins, which the religionists, i.e. Christians, are obsessed with, sexuality, crude language, use of alcohol, smoking, everything, they're all missing from this list of things that God hates. Oh, God has this whole list where he's getting this luxury. Say, like somebody said, God, we're going to give you a spot in the Bible. You get it. This is your big opportunity. Tell us everything that you hate. Oh, good. I hate porn. I hate cigarettes. I hate whiskey. I hate wine. I hate people who say shit and fuck, and I hate anyone taking my name in vain, goddammit. Yeah. No, he blew his opportunity to list all the favorite Christian pet peeves. I hate dancing, I hate movies. Don't ever let me see anybody part their hair up here. No, they must part it over here. You missed your opportunity, God, because, this is your big chance. Where are all these things? They're not here. This is because Christians are all yapping up the wrong tree. They're yapping up the wrong leg, barking up the wrong tree. Yes, specifically look at the first and the last thing on this list. A proud look. Wow, look at this. The first thing God hates, numero uno, a proud look. So the very people who comprise the moral police who are trying to straighten up your life and say, the tisk, 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 like this. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Don't they have a proud look? They're proud. So, and by telling you that you shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that, don't look at porn, don't smoke cigarettes, don't drink whiskey, don't say shit, don't say fuck. None of these things are on God's hit list, or I should say his hate list. But what is on his hate list is the thing that they're doing, which is the proud look. Because apparently they've obtained some great moral mountaintop where they don't do any of the things that God isn't really concerned about. They don't watch porn, they don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't cuss. Okay, where are you on the proud look department? How you doing in that department? You know, because that's the thing God hates, number one. And the last one, Clyde points out, he who sows discord among brothers. That's right, these picky things that God doesn't even care about. So discord among brothers, but they don't care about that. See, they don't care about the discord. They're creating tension between people because, well, this guy goes to, my brother over here goes to R-rated movies, and I think R-rated movies are bad, so therefore I can't fellowship with him. You've created discord with an unscriptural wedge issue. It's not God's issue, it's your issue. And not only are you delivering your issue with a proud look, which God hates, but you're also sowing discord among brothers unnecessarily, which God also hates. All I can say about this is, no wonder that when Christ came, he was much more at home with the publicans and the sinners and the prostitutes than he was with the religious, proud look, sowed discord among the brethren Pharisees.